This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, if you just joined us, kind of stunning news. But as Peter mentioned, the way it's being done, it's not upsetting. John Sterling has broadcasted his final game as a longtime broadcaster of the New York Yankees. So 36 years with the Yankees as their broadcaster, and a career. You know, Don mentioned this earlier. He was doing sports talk radio before FAN ever existed. He did the Islanders, and you know his call Islander goal. He also called I forget the other hockey league, Don, but he did the
Long Island Ducks.
No, not the Long Island Ducks.
The WHA you're talking
about?
Oh yeah.
And he did it with those games with Fritz Peterson, who just passed away last week, the Yankee pitcher who was loved hockey. He did the Nets with Dr. J and Larry Keenan and that team. Then he went to Atlanta and did the Braves. And then he came back and he did the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So he did the Yankees for 3 years. The first 2 years with Jay Johnstone. Then he did a year with Joe Angel. Joe Angel left. And then I got the job. And I worked with him for 10 years. And then there were three years with Charlie Steiner, and then now 20 years with Susan. So that all adds up to 36. And he's an entertainer. He's got one of the great voices I've ever heard in broadcasting, and he still sounds terrific today. And I'll just recount the phone call that I had with him on Saturday. I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Not that great." He sounded a little hoarse because I knew he had not been feeling well. That's why he missed the last series at the stadium, and then they went to Cleveland, so he wasn't scheduled to make that trip anyway. And he said, "But I'm okay." I said, "So what's up?" He had left me a voicemail, and he said, "I just want to tell you that I've done my last Yankee game." I said, "John, why? Well, what happened?" He says, "I'm just tired. I'm done. I don't like going to the ballpark anymore. I'm just done." And I said, "I'm shocked." I said, "Well, why don't you wait until you feel better?" I said, "And then make this." He said, no, it has nothing to do with me feeling under the weather now. It's just, I think it's time. You know, I'm going to be 86 on July 4th, and, you know, this can't go on forever. And now I could sit back and watch the game on TV and, you know, live my life the way I want, not have to be at the ballpark when I have to be at the ballpark. And I just think it's time. And I got to give credit to Chris Oliveira. He's the general manager of WFAN. And I've told this to Chris personally. He has been so great with John since he took over as the guy running WFAN. He has acceded to his every wish. He has made sure that it was comfortable for John. When John wanted to cut back on road travel, Chris made it happen. As far as I was told, Chris, up until this thing became official, was trying to talk him out of it. And he understood that legends should be treated in a certain way, and you know, whether you like John's broadcasting style or not, he certainly is a legend. Called 5 world championships with the Yankees, and he's going to be remembered forever from Yankee fans. And Yankees are going to honor him with a on-field ceremony on Saturday. So it's kind of stunning, because there were people that, you know, when John started broadcasting the Yankees, they were 10 years old. They're 46 now. I mean, that's all they've known.
Yep.
That's all they've known. Two generations of Yankee fans. That's really all they've known, calling Yankee games. So I'm kind of sad because he still sounded terrific. Yeah. If you listen to a tape of his last game, he sounded great. He just sounded great. But he just said, "I'm done. I'm tired. I want to rest, and it's just too much for me." So we have to respect his wishes and say goodbye and give him a big collective hug.
It must be really passionate about it too, Michael, because I guess it would be very simple with them returning home this weekend.
Right.
For him to just say, "All right, this is my last series," give some closure to the fans, have a chance to say goodbye outside of a press conference or a guest spot on the fan during that series. So maybe he'd be just too emotional to know that these were the last games, or maybe he just could not give another game. It is a lot. You know, it's every day. It's getting to the ballpark, preparing to do the game, and maybe he just absolutely had it. But selfishly, even though I'm not a Yankee fan, but I'm a fan of his, I'm a fan of radio, and a fan of play-by-play, first and foremost, that I'd love to be able to get some closure and have him do at least one more game, you know, just to be able to know as you're listening to it, it'd be the last chance.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I mean, we've heard his last game, and we didn't know it was his last game.
Now, his highlights will live forever, Michael. I mean, some of those moments are iconic, so his voice is going to live forever. In Yankee fan land and in baseball land for sure, but just to have that moment, because that's the difference between baseball and every other sport, is that in hockey and basketball, they're kind of necessary evils, in football too, because there's not as many games and you can get in front of the television. But radio, this, and I'm one of these people too, Michael, where I enjoy it more on radio than sometimes sitting and watching it on television. There's nothing better then on a beautiful summer day, sit outside and barbecue, pop the radio on, and listen to the game. And that's why his voice resonates so well, because even a diehard fan probably listens to 60, 70 games a year on the radio, in their car, in the backyard, and that's the voice that they heard every summer for 30-plus years, every game, every inning, every big moment. So that's why baseball announcers, especially on the radio, are so iconic, because they're such a part of the fabric and the soundtrack of a sports fan's life.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. And I mean, what a responsibility for, you know, Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barberi, who are doing a good job doing the games on the road now. I don't know what FAN's plan is, but I would assume they'll split the games the rest of the way. But you know, you're taking over for a guy that was part of everybody's, you know, landscape. You know, because as Don said, baseball is a radio sport, because the radio goes with you to the beach, and you could be at the pool, and I mean, it's just built because it's such a long season, and wherever you go, if you're taking rides in the car, John Sterling was always with you, and now he's decided to step away. Really weird. Really weird.
I wonder also if there's a slight bonus for him in that you'd rather not go through the, this is my last time doing this, this is my last time doing that. Like, if there's a part that's emotionally easier to just go, it already happened. It's done. You know what I mean?
You know what, Peter? That, I guess it would be very emotional, right?
Mm-hmm.
For him to, you know, forget about, like, this is the last time. Just to know that this is the last time.
That's what I mean.
And rather than put himself through that emotion.
Yeah, he just said,
it's been done. I'm done.
Exactly. Rather than do, so the last time he did a game, there was no pomp and circumstance. It wasn't some special version of it. He did it the way it always was, and that was it. I respect the hell out of it.
And you know that if he announced this weekend was going to be his last weekend, it'd be a circus. And maybe that's something he just didn't want to have to go through with all the interviews and
he's going
to
do that anyway Saturday.
But he'll have that moment. But he's also, this is a guy that wants to be able to do the game, right? And he wants to put the game first and not have it be about him. And that's what it would kind of become. And maybe that's just attention he didn't want. And listen, you know him better than anybody, Michael. What would you think the reason behind it would be?
I you know what? I don't quite know. I don't know why he won't do one more game, you know, just to give people closure. Forget about him. You know, people want to hear that one final game. They experienced that one final game, and they didn't know it was a one final game.
Do we know his last home run call? Somebody was asking on social media.
Was that the day that Soto had the call, hit a home run?
So his last game was, because he hasn't worked the last, he didn't take this road trip, obviously, to Cleveland.
Right.
So the last,
he didn't do the three games before this, he didn't do at home. So that one, all the games blend together.
Yeah, especially in baseball. It's every day.
Yeah,
it's easy enough to look up.
He did. I think the last game was a Sunday.
Well, we can find that out easy enough.
The Stanton Grand Slam he had. The Blue Jays, I believe. That was the last.
So we can take a look and see the last home run in that.
While we're looking, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Les in Rockland County. Les.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I just want to kind of echo everything that you said. I'm 42 years old. So my entire life, right, has been John Sparrow. And whether it's, you know, on the radio, in the car, you know, growing up, or, you know, sitting by the pool, just everywhere we went, right, it was on, and he was the voice. And I was listening last week, and he sounded perfect. Like, it amazed me how he was 86 years old, the travel, the city to city, and still kind of kept up with it, and honestly didn't miss a beat. And whether you liked his style or not, the guy was on it every game and showed up and was amazing. So definitely a legend. And, you know, to speak to, you know, I got four kids now, right? They love getting in the car and listening to Yankee games, and he is their voice right now. So it's a sad day, but, you know, we should certainly celebrate everything that he has given to the Yankees, because it's tremendous.
Yeah, that Stanton home run was the last home run of that 8-3 win against the Blue Jays, so... Not bad for his last home run to be
a Stantonian blast.
A grand slam.
Yeah.
You know, over the years that I worked with him, we had, you know, very funny exchanges, because he really, really wanted the Yankees to win. Because when I joined him, that was 92. So that was the last losing season they've had. And, you know, he would live and die with every loss. And I was coming from a newspaper background where, you know, you have to be totally objective. And I just asked him, I said, John, why do you care if they win? I mean, they don't care if you have a good broadcast. And he said, Michael, my boy, he goes, if you give people good news, they're going to like you. He goes, and you give people bad news, they'll blame the announcer. He goes, as great as Marv Albert was, he was at the mic in 69 and 73. And he is part of forever because they won when he was there. And John knew. And, you know, he loved being part of 96 and 98. And because the first 3 years he did, think about it. I mean, I was a writer then, and he would tell me, go, what did I do? I left the Braves and the Hawks. And I mean, this is the Stump Merrill years.
Yeah.
It was just dreadful. And he was so down, and he was questioning why he made the move. And obviously, you know, starting in 93, they haven't had a losing season since. And he also took a lot of pride in the voice, because the voice is spectacular. It's spectacular. And, you know, if you listen to some older announcers, you can see that they sound older. You know, even politicians that are old, if you listen to Bill Clinton, he doesn't sound the same way he did when he was president, you know, because your vocal cords age. John's didn't. John's amazing. His vocal cords didn't age. He sounds like he's 25 years old. It's really something else. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of things I wish to discuss, but let me touch on John. I was one of those 10-year-old Islander New York Net fans back in the day. I was listening to John on my AM/FM radio as I went to bed. Some horrible Islander overtime losses in the playoffs. Some great Dr. J championships. And then when I went on the police department, I learned to love the radio. And to this day, people I work with have these little phones and stuff to try to watch a game on a little screen that's blurry. I said, you know what? Give me the radio. I can enjoy it. The art form that it is, paint me the picture rather than me staring at some little screen trying to, you know, freezes up. It goes in and out. I love listening to games on the radio. And Sterling was as good as anybody because he didn't take it overly serious. In the middle of the seventh inning, he starts talking about a meal. And that's great because you have so much downtime in baseball. It's theater of the mind. You have to fill the spots. And he filled it. And he will be missed. And I wish him a healthy and long retirement. And I just hope it isn't for health concerns, because the New York Post right now, as we know, love the Post, is saying it's because of health concerns. Front page of the online Post. We just hope that that's not true. Wouldn't be the first time the Post blew a headline.
No, never.
But a couple of things, Don. By the way, Peter, the thing about filling your gas tank was because the thought process was when it got down low, sediment and dirt would go into the engine that wouldn't necessarily have it. I don't know about Don's father filling the tank every day, but between that and crushing the pizza boxes, it's amazing the man ever got any work done.
Well, yeah, that's a great point.
He didn't like it under a half a tank, so what are you going to do?
Listen, Donnie, about the hockey. I mean, is it me or is it an Islander fan? I come out of that game. First of all, I was listening on the ESPN app because I was in my garden all day planting my veggies.
And Maloney was more high on the Islanders during the game than he was the Rangers, saying this is a team that's playing playoff hockey, not the Rangers. They're winning every battle in front of the net, behind the net. And they're giving the Rangers everything they could handle and more. And they're going into the playoffs with a full head of steam. The Rangers kind of, I'm not saying they lucked out. It was a great game. And like I said last week, give me Islander Rangers once a week for 6 months. I'm good. And now they're probably not going to play in the playoffs. But I came out of that game with the 1 point. I mean, we needed it, but the manner in which they played, I was thrilled with this team heading into the playoffs.
Well, they're
now,
built,
now let's go win the game tonight.
They're built for the postseason, the way that they play and their goaltending. Now, will they be able to score in a big spot? That's always going to be the question. But just like with the Knicks when they beat the Celtics the other day, Michael, whatever sport you follow, I always take the end of the season with a grain of salt because not everybody's like the Knicks. And the Rangers want to win the President's Trophy, and they want home ice advantage and all the things that come with it, but you're never going to be able to match the intensity of a team that needs the game to make the playoffs. So the last two times the Rangers played the Islanders were absolutely desperate, and that was a big difference. Now, can they beat the Rangers in the best seven series? Of course they can, because that's hockey. But I still like the Rangers' chances, and I wouldn't completely get crazy in what's happened most recently with the Rangers taking on all these desperate teams. Philadelphia, when they played New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, they were still alive. The Islanders, Pittsburgh. That's a tough kind of comparison. A team trying to get to the second season going up against a team that already knows they're in. They already know they're going to have home ice in the first couple of rounds, and they're playing for the President's Trophy or to win the division. It's a different type of intensity. Once the playoffs start, everybody's on even keel as far as the need is concerned.
Let's go to Artie in Fairlawn. Artie.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you guys?
What's up?
What's
up? I was talking about the Knicks earlier, but you know what? John Sterling is like, he's God. I mean, I listen to the radio game all the time. Half the time I got the radio on when you're not on TV, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's got the radio and the TV on because it's ahead of the game. And so she's like very down right now.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are, Artie. He's been a part of people's lives for 36 years calling 80 games. And if you go back further with the Islanders and the Nets, and yeah, I mean, he's been around a long time. It's an amazing broadcasting career, as he said in the statement. Oh, he's been doing it 62 years.
I hope, listen, I don't want to talk him into anything he doesn't want to do. We can't say we're surprised by this announcement because he's going to be 86 years old, all right? So the day was going to come sooner than later. I just think people thought they'd know the last game.
Right.
And I just wonder when he sees the outpouring of emotion from the fans, whether given the opportunity to just do one last game, whether he would take that opportunity.
You know what bothers me? You know, I just looked at what Danny said, that the front page of the Post Online, he's retiring for health concerns. And as far as I know, I mean, I spoke to him on Saturday. That's not the case. I said, why don't you wait until you feel better? Because he's under the weather. He's not, like, profoundly ill. You know, when people are 85, they get a bug. It stays with them a while. But as far as I could tell, what he told me, it's just time. He's tired, and he doesn't want to do the games. He doesn't want to go to the ballpark. He says, once I'm in the seat and doing the games, I love it. He said, but just to get there and to get back, I just don't want to do it. So that's kind of not right. That headline's not right.
Well,
it's not because of health concerns.
I know. That's the thing. It's a slight word difference. But when you use health concerns, the obvious implication, Michael, is that there's a deeper concern.
Right.
Not just the real headline.
Right.
John Sterling is tired. He's older. And he realized he started the season and realized he just doesn't have it in him. And that's not nearly as sexy a headline as health concerns. So people go for the health concerns one. And that stinks because that's not what the situation is.
And it's
is.
Easy to believe because he's not going to do another game.
Right.
You know, like it's not like, oh, at the end of the season or at the end of this month or at the end of this homestand. It's immediate, so that fuels the speculation even more.
You know, one of the things that, you know, when Flip put together the Yes Network,
mm-hmm.
getting John to do the Yankeeography, I mean, was there a better voice to do that? Just think about it, how perfect a fit that was. And he still, to this day, he still does them. And also the Yankee Classics, it's just... It fits. It just fits that he's calling you know, Yankeeography and doing all the classics and stuff like that. It was a perfect fit for him. So, yeah, there's a lot of things he's going to be missed about, but not going anywhere. He's just not doing the games. So that's what we have to think.
Now, you obviously were the perfect choice, Michael, but did Flip ever consider using John on Yes for play-by-play? Or was it a contract thing?
I don't know. Well, we were both under contract to the radio, so I don't quite know. I'm not quite sure. I think what Flip has told me, he definitely wanted to go with a younger person. You know, I was 40 at the time, and because it was a new network. But I don't know if John was ever considered or not. But that was a difficult phone call for me to make, to tell John that I was leaving to do the TV, because I've told the story a million times that if I was John Sterling's quote unquote sidekick for 40 years, I would have been very happy. I would have considered that a very successful career. And then the television thing opened up, and John was hurt. John felt like I left him. And I said, no, it's just an unbelievable opportunity. I didn't leave you. This is something that I want to try to see if I can do. Not because I'm unhappy with you. Mm. I was very happy with him. And I love doing the games with him. And I'll always think back fondly on those days. Those are some of the best professional days of my life.
It's got to make you feel good, Michael, because I'm seeing it now. Of people wondering, could they get you and John one more time? And you guys haven't called a game together in over 20 years, and yet still that team resonates with fans because of all the great games that you called and championships that you won.
Well, there could absolutely be a world, I would think, where John hangs out, rests some this summer, and then an opportunity comes up for him to join you on Yes and do a game. That could be in the cards.
I would love. I mean, I'm sure that Yes would be up for it as well. I can't speak for them, but
why wouldn't they be?
You always used to be a block about. Especially when we were at war with each other, the radio stations, that, why don't I go in the booth and do one more game with him, when Susan was off. But it could never happen because, I didn't work for FAN and ESPN wouldn't want me to do it, although I think ESPN would have had a less of a problem with me doing it. But we did do that one spring training game during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we did that. But that was weird. We were both in separate places and we weren't together. It'd be great to do a game together.
Yeah,
but I just think that that's cool that 20 years has passed and yet people still would want to see something.
Well, you know what? It goes back to what John said. When you give people good news, they like you. We gave them four world championship teams that we were broadcasting for, and they think back fondly on that. So those are great. Those 10 years were unbelievable. So many great games, so many great moments. And again, five World Series, one of them. The last game I ever did with him was 2001 Game 7. Even that was great, and it was an awful ending for Yankee fans, but it was a great game. And I didn't know when I did that game that was going to be the last game we ever did, because I didn't think I was getting the Yes job. I didn't even think it was a possibility. All right, we'll take some more phone calls when we get back. With over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available for immediate delivery, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has the right vehicle for you. Special lease and finance offers are available this month. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Start the shopping process online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit the showroom on Bank Street. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're talking about John Sterling. He announced today, the Yankees announced that John has done his last game. We spoke on Saturday. He said he's just tired and, you know, doesn't like the trip to the ballpark and the trip back. He loves doing the games, still loves sitting there doing the games, but it's just too much to have to be somewhere. He said, I'm going to be 86 on July 4th. And, a lot of people look at John as like, you know, a homer broadcaster. And what I would ask them all to do is pull up a tape of the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth inning, game 7 in 2001. And listen to the way he called Luis Gonzalez's hit that won the World Series for the Diamondbacks. You would think that he was a national broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And when it's that moment in a game, John Sterling could give you as good a call as anybody who has ever lived. With his voice, with his inflection, with the rhythm of the way he calls a game, he's an amazing broadcaster. So, yeah, did he want the Yankees to win? Of course he wanted the Yankees to win. And I told you why he felt like that. But if the other team did something great in a big moment, he was just as excited because it was a big moment.
Also, listen, was he a little sticky with the whole Yankees win, Yankees win and all that? Yes. And if you want to call that being a homer. But, Michael, I listened to enough Yankee baseball where he would sometimes hammer the team for not being able to get the runner to third with less than two outs or get a sacrifice like Susan. They're killing themselves here. How many runners have they left on base? Like, he could be as pointed and biting against the Yankees and critical of the Yankees. Now, when they won the game, he'd be over the top, but you're right. He still gave his all for every RBI or a home run or a great moment for the other team within reason. But he would be very critical of the team, Michael. Very critical.
Absolutely. We are in the middle of Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Yankees could have swept last night or swept the three-game series against the Guardians. Defense very sloppy. Anthony Volpe couldn't handle, would have been a game-ending double play. Then with the infield in, Torres couldn't handle a ground ball, would have gotten the out at home. Yankees could have won. Anthony Rizzo made two errors. He has four errors on the season. He had four errors all of last year. The Yankees as a team have 16 errors, and that's tied with the A's and the Red Sox for the most in baseball. So they got to clean that up. But, you know, the bottom line is they're 12-4, so it's certainly hard to, you know, complain.
Right.
Mets took two out of three against the Royals. Yesterday was a beautiful ceremony, despite it being the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc working without notes, too. Thought he gave a great speech.
See, I love that, because he was speaking from the heart, because that's what he wanted to do. And he talked to us about how important communicating that message was to the fans when we had him on Friday. And the rain, you know, might have kept a few people out of their seats. I know a lot has been made about it looking empty, but you saw how the ballpark filled up once the sun came out and the game was on. So I think a lot of people were getting some shelter before when the ceremony was going on. But even in the game they lost on Saturday, they were down 11-4. They made 11-5, 6, then 11-7, got a couple of runners on in the ninth inning. Like, they don't go away. And that's a nice team right there to be able to say that. And after an 0-5 start, they're 7-3 since then. Only a game under 500. They've won a couple of series. They beat Cincinnati 2 out of 3. Beat Atlanta 2 out of 3. Took a series against Kansas City. So 7-3 since the 0-5 start.
See, there's life after rock bottom.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's just the thing about baseball. It's just we analyze it every day, but sometimes it's simply ridiculous. And so 0-5 was really bad, but that 0-5 could have easily been 2-3, and then you wouldn't have been panicking. But because it's 0-5, you naturally go into, oh my God, we're losing the season. Now this team is kind of exactly where you thought they would be.
Because if you look at series, like you look at games in the NFL, all right, they dropped the first couple of series. That's all it was after 0-5 was dropping the first two series, and now they've turned around and won the next three series.
All right, it's going from 0-2 in the NFL to 3-2.
Right. So just win series and just continue to find it. You know, Pete Alonso's got 6 home runs and he's starting to feel it now. I mean, Lindor's still in a bit of a malaise, but a little bit better than, listen, his 0-75 batting
average
early in the
season. How about
the
fans giving him a standing ovation Friday, like the owner asked?
Well, that's what Cohen asked. So and then they did it. So let's see. This is going to be one of those seasons where there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, and I still don't know if the pitching is there. But you saw Diaz get his first first save at home since 2022, and they've gotten some okay starting pitching, but they should be able to hit, Michael. And I thought Buto was really good yesterday. Had 9 strikeouts in honor of Doc. He was striking out people the way Doc did back in the day. It was a fun weekend. It really was. And even in the game that they lost, they showed a little bit of heart and hung in there and made it interesting.
Let's go to PK in Montclair. PK.
Hey, Michael and team. How you guys doing?
What's up?
I originally had a Volpe point, but you know, I just heard about this news with John Sterling, and I did want to comment on that. I mean, between Sterling and yourself, Michael, you guys were the soundtrack of my baseball, development.
Well, that's always a wonderful compliment to hear, and you know, like I told Derek Jeter once, thank you for letting me piggyback on your greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, announcers become, I guess I shouldn't use the word famous because we're not famous, but they become more well-known and well-liked when you have great moments to call. And with the Yankees over these, 35 years, it's been great moment after great moment. So we just happen to be in the right place at the right time.
It's so cool here in New York. You know, I've complimented how we don't have any weak links. All the teams here in New York have great play-by-play announcers. But we've been very fortunate to have guys spend forever. You know, Sam Rosen's been the Ranger TV guy since 84. Even Bob Papa, Michael, he took over 92, 93. So he's been the Giant announcer for 30 years. Bob's been the Jet announcer for over 20 years.
Wow, that's quick.
Green's been the Knick announcer. He started the same year as me, so 33.
Yeah, going back to his radio days.
Yeah.
Carino took over for Papa. He has to be doing it for over 20 years, Michael.
Yep.
So we've been very, very fortunate that the announcers that we've had, and when you hang around for that long, you're gonna make an impression on the fan base for sure.
Let's go to Richard in Manhattan.
Michael, Don, Peter. Before I get to John, let me just say a word about Ken Holtzman.
Mm-hmm.
Holtzman was on the 76 Yankee team. He was a great Baltimore Oriole pitcher. Pitched in the 69 World Series. Ironically, Jerry Grody died last week, and now Holtzman both played in the 69 World Series. Holtzman, though, Billy Martin hated him, wouldn't let him pitch. He pitched Guidry, Rudy May, Figueroa, Doc Ellis, but he wouldn't pitch Holtzman. And Holtzman famously said, "It's okay, I'm sitting in the bullpen, I'm still getting my money," because he had a big contract. But he was a very good pitcher for Baltimore, and he was always, I'll always remember him as being on my favorite Yankee team, that 76 team that came out of nowhere. Then more than the 94 team and the 2017 team. Those were the three Yankee teams that nobody expected anything, but a 76 team, of course, went to the World Series. Okay, as far as John goes, I started calling John in John Sterling is like Lou Gehrig. He replaced the guy on WMCA AM named Jack Spector, and it was supposed to be a summer replacement thing. Spector was but they had sports call-ins in the 60s. I think Stan Lomax, and there were a couple other guys on WOR. Who?
Bill Mazur,
right? The amazing. But that was more Stump. Stump Mazur. He asked him a question. But there was another guy. I forgot his name. Not Lomax, but another guy. I forgot his name. Anyway, so John replaced Jack Spector's, who went on to do country music when it was in its infancy, country music, I forget on which station. Anyway, but John, now John was about 35, 36, and 72. He was tough on young kids. I was 16, 17 years old. I'd call up, and he would rip you if he didn't like what you said. Oh, that's a childish thing to say, or how sophomoric are you? And he was rough. He didn't suffer fools gladly, that's for sure. But like I always said, him and Susan on the radio, and I'd be reading my New York Post with a coffee and a bagel, forget about it. That was the best thing you can do in New York. His voice was great, and he certainly wasn't pro-Yankee. He'd get angry at Boone for taking pitches out. He would say, oh, of course they're going to take the pitcher out. He got three in a row and threw seven pitches. Why shouldn't they take him out? He was funny.
Well,
he was a curmudgeon. He was great.
He wanted the Yankees to win, but he was not reluctant to criticize them. So, you know, when I think of a homer, it's when they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken, whatever. Never did that. If they were playing poorly or they didn't move a runner over, he destroyed them. He was happy when they won. So if you call that, I'd like to know what broadcasters are happy when the team they're broadcasting. You know who we left out too? Ian Eagle's going to 30 years with the Nets.
That's crazy.
And Howie Rose, did we say Howie?
Yeah, well, Howie was doing Mets Extra back in the late 80s.
Yep.
And then he was at MSG for a while. So he's been doing Mets play-by-play for over 30 years. He's been with the Mets, Michael, for 40, going back to Mets Extra days. Really, every team. But there's been an announcer with them for a very, very long, long time. And even guys that were, like I said, Bob Murphy did it from 62 to retired at the end of the 03 season. Like, forever, these guys. Kenny's been doing radio for the Rangers since 95. So he's going on 30 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember when I was talking to John, I said, John, you got to be sure. You know, you can't get these jobs back. He said, no, I'm sure. I'm good. So he kept saying he was good. So, you know, you know why people keep it so long? They're great jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to give it up. What saddened me, not certainly not trying to make this about me, is that there is an end. You know, you think this is going to go on forever? You know, you think John's going to be the Yankee announcer forever? You don't think that age catches up with people. And at some point, you know, even Vin Scully retired. He did it when he was 96, but it's sad. I mean, there's a certain number that you reach, you go, wow, I'm way closer to the end than I was to the beginning. So it's sobering. It's sobering, but that's
what
life is.
But it's also, it's very sad, and it's also the best kind of sadness that you can hope for.
How so?
Because if your whole life goes perfectly, you get to retire from your dream job at 86. That's called as good as it could possibly go. Now, listen. As good as you possibly go is your parents die peacefully in their 90s. That doesn't make it not sad when it happens. But it's sort of the best kind of sad you can hope for.
I'm also told that Carino and Capshaw are full-time when Yes started, so they just finished their 22nd season. And do you know that Capshaw the other day announced his 1,900th consecutive game?
Yeah, I was shocked at that. Yeah, 1900. I saw the same tweet. 1900 consecutive games.
Never
dating back
game.
To 02. He's great. Those guys are great. You talk about, you know, Mona Lisa in a garage. It just because the Nets have, you know, really this year not very good. And in Ian, when you look at the TV and the radio for the Nets, you know, a team that doesn't have a championship, and it's now been 20 years since they were competing for one, to have announcers like that, tremendous. Carino is so good.
He's really good. He's really good.
You know, I worked with him at Sports Phone back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
He gets to do games on Yes as well. When Ian and Ryan are not doing the game, they have Carino do it. So, yeah, he's tremendous.
And just to throw out, too, Michael, and I text him after. I want to give a shout out to Pat O'Keefe because he got thrown into a situation. Believe me, he loved it that he got the opportunity. Unfortunately, under the tough circumstances with Ed Cohen's situation, and he ended up doing every game down the stretch and some amazing games. He had a great game yesterday, getting a chance to do the playoffs. So good job out of Pat O'Keefe too, taking advantage of an opportunity and killing it.
You know what I was thinking about too, Don? If the Knicks and the Rangers win a championship. You're going to get two rings. You did games for both of them.
I don't think I'll get one.
Am I right, Peter?
He should.
Am I right?
He should.
I don't believe I'll get one.
Well, that would be a shame. You deserve two. You've been a part of both.
I did seven Nick games.
How many Ranger?
20, and then obviously pre and post.
Seven's almost 10% of the season.
Yeah, no. Ranger, you got to get.
And also the pre and post.
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole season.
Hey, the hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. You know that, Peter. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They will contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
You know, over the years that I worked with him, we had, you know, very funny exchanges because he really, really wanted the Yankees to win. Because when I joined him, that was 92. So that was the last losing season they've had. And, you know, he would live and die with every loss. And I was coming from a newspaper background where, you know, you have to be totally objective. And I just asked him, I said, John, why do you care if they win? I mean, they don't care if you have a good broadcast. And he said, Michael, my boy, he goes, if you give people good news, they're going to like you. He goes, and you give people bad news, they'll blame the announcer. He goes, as great as Marv Albert was, he was at the mic in 69 and 73. And he is part of forever because they won when he was there. All true. If you just got out of work, John Sterling and the Yankees have announced that John has done his last game. They're going to have a ceremony for him on Saturday, a Saturday afternoon's game at the stadium. So, kind of an end of an era. 36 years behind the mic for the Yankees. Pretty amazing. That's a longer stretch than Mel. You know, I was thinking about Phil. You know, I said it's a long stretch. Phil was 57. He started in 57.
Mm.
And I think his last year was 1996. So, Phil might still be the longest.
Yeah, tenure. Crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about the other things that he did, Michael, and we didn't hear it in New York, but if you ever see, like on MLB or
that's great.
Some kind of classic, the July 4th Braves-Mets game when Rick Camp hit the home run, they went 19 innings, Sterling's on the call for the Braves.
Yep.
And again, we got New York, didn't get it, but if you ever see a replay of that game, they always play the Braves feed, and it's Sterling from 1985.
Yeah, he's kind of like Zelig. Yeah, he's been around a long time.
He really has.
Let's go to John in Mount Vernon. John.
Hey, John.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you, John?
I'm good. I got a couple of stories and one personal story, but I remember when John came over from Atlanta, he used to drive me crazy because the Yankees weren't very good at that time, and he would constantly say, when I was with the Braves, and he used to drive me nuts. But he won me over. I'll never forget. I was on White Plains Road and Gun Hill Road, and Bernie Williams hit a home run or something. It was a Sunday, and that was the first time I heard him say, burn, baby, burn. And he
John, that
won
was the first time he did that. I was with him that day. That was the first time he started doing that. Burn, baby, burn was the first one.
Yeah, well, and that's what I remember. And so he won me over with that. And by the way, I went to high school with Kenny Singleton. We stayed the same bus in Mount Vernon.
Oh, really?
And I coached James Rowson for 1 year. And if you ever get him on, ask him about his father. His father was a tremendous New York Giant football fan, as you can think. It's, anyway, and my personal note about John is I have a tremendous friend. I'm a big Yankee fan. This guy was bigger than me. Season ticket holder, went to many games with him. He passed away this week. And just his name's also John. It just seems sort of, of course, John Sterling, thank God, has not passed away, but it just seems sort of full circle the way life works that John has stepped down 5 days after my friend John stepped down. So that's just what I wanted to say.
I'm sorry for your loss, John. Yeah, that's all. I was with John in Seattle. You know, John was like a confirmed bachelor, and he met this girl, Jennifer.
Okay. I like
the
story.
I remember I came down early in the morning. I don't know why I was up early in the morning. And John slept in past noon every day. And he was scurrying across the hallway, the lobby of the hotel in Seattle with 24 roses. I said, well, John, what are you doing? I met the girl I'm going to marry, Michael. I said, what? He goes, oh, yes, this is the one. And he ended up marrying her, and they had 4 children. I mean, they've since split up, but they still remain very, very close. And I went to their wedding.
When are we talking about?
Oh, but goodbye to yes. They're going to the pregame.
Oh,
wake up, Flip.
When was it happened?
Nutella.
All right, so I joined him in 92, so it had to be like 96, maybe?
So in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
Found his partner, and they had all their kids from that point on.
They had, they had a daughter, and then they had, it's a funny story, they had the triplets.
Cool Whip.
And when they had the triplets, the Yankees were in the World Series. I think it was 98, yeah, 98. And so he was at the hospital and then came back and did the game. And then we were on the plane. And Scott Brosius said, John, what are you doing? What do you mean? What am I doing? I'm going to see San Diego to do games 3 and 4. Your wife just gave birth. Well, it's done. What more can I do? I'll see them when I get back.
12 farm fresh eggs.
You got it. During E&M, Michael, you got to tell the flight to Minnesota.
You
got to tell that story.
That
is so good. I love the story. Listen, I enjoy him as an announcer, but I feel like I enjoy the stories about him as a guy even more. And if people knew everything, there's such great stuff that Michael tells, and with the excellence that you do his voice, and it's just fantastic.
Oh, we'll come back with E&M, but first Don has to tell us about Mazda.
Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease a new 2024 Mazda CX-5 2.5S Select all-wheel drive for $239 a month. At Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey, choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R0413315. MSRP $30,750. Ends 4/30/24.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.